Do you have the meeting ID number handy that you could read out loud for us?
Carla, are you still there?
Yeah, Carla's here.
Can you hear me at all now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
John's
there.
Okay, can you, do you have your video, do you have your camera on?
Oh, it should be on, I don't want to turn it off.
John's asking if he needs a password, but I don't think he does.
It might be one of the, let me find the email.
Yeah, I just logged in through the town meeting website.
Did you use a password?
There's a little
camera
on there that you just click on.
Can you
probably right now?
A microphone
in
the lower left.
Yeah, and then there's a video.
There should be a camera icon too.
Hang on, that's just recording. There's no camera icon. Let me go back out and try to come back in.
Okay.
Sure.
Eric, do you have your video camera on?
Yeah, I have a five Teams meetings today.
Yeah, folks, the way that the other way you got me on camera was to make me a co-host.
Oh, yeah, I'm not getting that. It's not like letting me take that option.
Yeah, I think you probably have two. Because Jerry's on as a host.
Well, yeah, but we have the town.
Yeah. And you're on.
Yeah, I'm no host. I'm Jerry.
Jerry, take it away.
Cue the music. Not necessarily, I guess. Eric, you can see us, right?
You want me to get out of here?
No, don't do that.
I can see everything fine.
I can only see myself.
You have to get a better view. Totally great view.
All right, let's go on each other.
I'm in that. The gallery of feature view, gallery view, all of
gallery.
And Jerry's video is still choppy. I don't know what you want to do about John. I don't know.
Yeah, I told him that the other folks were having luck using the link on the town site. Right, that's what everybody else
does. I'm going to jump on the tractor and get here.
Yeah. Well, at one point he said that. At one point I thought he said he was coming in. I thought he meant here.
Oh,
there he's trying to come into the meeting. Well, Jim has a furrowed brow, so I think we've thoroughly confused him.
Well, the good news is we have a quorum, and most people can hear us.
You want to call that good enough? That's right. Did you get Gary back?
Let's see. Yes, Gary is on.
Okay. And the other person was
Chris Washburn is on too. But I don't see him. Chris Washburn, are you there? Are you on? He's here listed, but it just gives me the chat option.
Doesn't look like he has any audio.
No.
I just tried to let him talk, and it says because he's using an older version of Zoom. Zoom just, like, last week updated everything.
Oh, well. That's why it worked so well last meeting, then. Of course, we can't leave technology alone.
You know anything about that, Alan?
Maybe he's updated their Zoom.
Well, I'm saying that. Come on.
I don't know what the problems are.
I'm trying to type. Chris apparently.
Eric, maybe that's what you have to do.
Update Zoom?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
I think he's good with the still.
We appreciate the songbirds. We're going to go get started here once Jim gets
going. Yeah, I'll look at my birds.
Oh, no, that's fine. And Gary as well, he doesn't have the...
I might have...
chat.
Yeah, all they can do is chat with Gary too. I might have Chris...
Who's up first?
Chris is, right? I might have him call into the number, is that all right?
Do that, okay, we realize that. I'm really asking if that has to be it. Thanks, Alan.
All right, I'm trying to get Chris Walker to call in.
I think we'll pick it up on the speaker. And get on the phone.
I don't know what happened before.
Hey, gentlemen, if you want Chris to talk, it looks like I can click allow to talk. And there he's now on my screen. As is Chris.
For 518-793-318.
Hello?
Chris?
Hello?
Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we have you on, I think, via our attorney's audio, but the main thing is you're being heard.
Alright, perfect.
Sorry about this.
I'm here for tech support too.
Thank you, Carl. So glad you're here. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Good evening, everyone. This is Ron Zimmerman. This is the Cotton Borough Planning Board meeting for June 15th, 2020. Just going to check in with Jim before I go too much farther. Do you have your audio being recorded?
Yes, we have the audio being recorded here,
okay.
And it's being recorded on the tape recorder as a backup as well. Yes. Numbers are moving? Yes.
Okay, very good. Present here at Town Hall, in terms of board members, we have Alan Van Tassel, Peter Jensen, Mike Shaver, and myself. And then virtually, I believe we have Eric and Jerry. I don't think we got John, but we were not quite sure. So we'll continue to monitor for Don Arnold. Before I go any farther than that, I'd like to start with a notice that we will provide for the public regarding this public meeting and the originally scheduled public hearing for tonight. I confirm with the attorney for the town that tonight's meeting and public hearing has been convened in accordance with Governor's March 13, 2020 Executive Order 202.1. which suspends certain provisions of the open meetings law to allow the municipal board to convene a meeting via video conferencing. In accordance with the executive order, the public has been provided the ability to view and participate in tonight's meeting, and a transcript will be provided at a later date. The secretary has done a roll call of the board members, and there is a quorum present for this meeting. I have also confirmed with the zoning administrator that this meeting, actually this is a correction, we have to have a conversation about, this meeting has been duly noticed, but the public hearing has not. So we'll talk more about that in a moment as it relates to our first application tonight. We've fulfilled our legal notice requirements by posting notice on the town's bulletin boards, and door faxing to news organizations, etc., and posting notice on the town's homepage, on its website, and listing on the town's Facebook page. This is being recorded, and a transcript will be prepared. We had a public hearing that was scheduled on an application for temporary sale of fireworks, which has frontage at 1315 Route 9, which was its tax map parcel number 77.1-1-63, which was scheduled for tonight. We should just go ahead and get into that here shortly as it relates to the public hearing for that application. Before I do, just one quick matter of business. I would ask the board members to take a look at the minutes from May 18, 2020. And again, another shout out to Tricia Andrews. Did a nice job capturing the minutes from that virtual meeting. So with that, I just wanted to ask board members present here in Town Hall and virtual if you have any additions, deletions, or corrections to the May 18, 2020 minutes.
I did not.
Done pretty well. They look really good. Trisha did a nice job. I didn't have anything. Anything for you, Peter or Mike?
No, I mean, mostly accept.
Okay, Eric and Jerry, anything from either of you?
No,
Nothing under me.
Well, sir.
Okay, I have a motion to accept the minutes as prepared for the May 18th, 2020 Planning Board meeting from Mike. Do I have a second?
So.
And a second from Alan. Any further discussion? Not too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? I shall concur. Motion carries. So with that, our first item of business tonight was an application by Keystone Novelties at 1315 Route 9 for the temporary sales of fireworks. We had a preliminary review and discussion at last month's meeting, and at that time we scheduled a public hearing for tonight. Chris Washburn is joining us from Keystone, and Jim Martin informed me that the proper notice for the public hearing did not go out. So as a planning board, we have a couple of options. This, as you might recall, was time sensitive for Keystone Novelties, in that they plan to be open for business for the 4th of July holiday. And if we were to wait, let's say, to have a public hearing at our July meeting, that would not work for them. So you got a couple of options. We could, and these are options, right, for discussion. One is you could waive the public hearing. The other is you could schedule a meeting, which we would have to make sure was properly noticed, and that the right amount of time needs to be noticed for 10 days.
So we need time to advertise in the newspaper?
Yeah. So so I guess at this point I'll open it up for discussion. I don't think that there was any other information that we were waiting on from...
Well, there was.
I thought we got that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did. There was additional information requested, and according to my notes, it was their opening plan to meet with the state's requirements for, you know, what's going on with the special procedures with the COVID virus.
Yeah.
And they did submit that plan.
And a copy of their...
And they also provided us a copy of their signed permit.
Yeah.
Application. There was supposed to be some coordination with the fire department as well. Those were the three things I had. And then obviously the public hearing. And that one's on me.
Jim, have you spoken to the fire chief about this? Or?
No. No, I did not.
Has he made himself available? Or?
I thought it was the applicant's responsibility, or I would have called.
It is. Okay, so it is the applicant. Yeah, I wasn't sure who's...
I'm happy to do it, but I thought it was the applicant. But
yeah, I wasn't sure if all I had.
Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you know if any conversations had gone on with the fire department?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't really know for sure. He didn't tell me on that part.
Okay.
I also run a management too, so I'm there. I'm the one that deals with, I put all the fencing in, I do all the work for the tenant as far as what's needed.
Okay.
Chris, do you get approval from State Fire on these?
Yeah, they show up after we get in there. He wants to see the extinguishers are out there, the table is set up, what product we're getting on the tables. There's all the entrance ways are labeled with the exit signs, vice versa. And when he comes in, we usually don't have any issues.
Okay, so Jim, if we have State Fire in there anyways, we should be okay, right?
Well, we can certainly provide notice between now and then, make them aware that this is happening.
For coordination.
Coordination.
That makes sense.
Because we do have a couple weeks yet. So yeah, I think we can take care of that. I'll be in tomorrow and I can make sure he's notified.
So when, for hypothetical sake then, Jim, if we put out a notice, let's say this week, would it be tomorrow, or when would it go into the paper? Not until probably Wednesday, right?
I know we can get it out tomorrow.
tomorrow count?
No, in terms of when it publishes, all that, we can get the paper tomorrow, but it may not publish until Wednesday.
Do they put it online first, and then it goes into print?
All I know is it takes a couple of days for them to publish it after we send the notice in.
Okay.
We didn't have any public concerns last year, did we? I don't think we had anybody here for a public hearing.
Not to my recollection. I don't remember there being anything that stood out about it.
I don't either.
You know, we did, as a board, have some initial concerns, and we made edits to the entrance and the exit to make sure it wasn't on the right. It was only on Firefall Road.
Yeah.
And as Jim pointed out last time, there weren't any complaints or issues or anything that was raised during their operations last year.
The only thing I would point out, I think, is relevant is this is a temporary use. It is just for, I think, up to 3 weeks. And I know in the past application, like, for example, with Fred Bartlett, if you recall, we had two modifications there that we did not subject to a public hearing of an original site plan near Route 9. So if this were a permanent use, you know, I could understand why you'd want to do that, but as a temporary use, from a staff point of view, I'm less concerned as a temporary use. Mm-hmm. We'll say that.
And they have the 24-hour security there, so.
Yep. Yeah. And you're subject to 24-hour spot check from the state.
Yep.
What were the dates of operation again? When did they hope to open?
Chris, what were your dates of operation?
I got here June 25th.
Yeah.
June 25th.
25th through the 7th.
Yeah, I don't think we could make a June 25th date with the hearing. I know we can.
You're not going to like it. 10 days?
Does council have any concerns about waiting?
Okay, what? And not that it's not an excuse, but what made it a difficult month is Wednesday fell on June 1st.
Yeah.
And so. But it's an oversight on my part. I take complete responsibility.
June of last year, when we had Keystone in here, Eric made a motion to waive the public hearing for Keystone to approve an NSX, so I don't think it could have been a conception of any great consternation.
There you go.
Oh.
I was just thinking about making a 1 year anniversary motion.
But before you do, I guess I'd just put it out to Carl to ask at this point, hearing a little bit of back and forth as far as where we're at with this application, do you have any concerns or any pause for concern?
I'm really not concerned. I mean, this was on last week, and though it was not public for last month, though it was not public hearing, there were folks in the audience. It was noticed today beyond. It is temporary, and given last year that there wasn't any real controversy from the public, I'm not too concerned about it if the board wants to waive the public hearing.
We also, the county chimed in with no countywide in that.
Right, because I had a note that was one other thing from last time that we were looking to hear back from them prior to tonight.
No.
So no countywide in that there, right?
Then I think
you
will be fine.
Yep, no significant countywide impact. And I will notice the fire chief tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you and the state fire are okay.
Yep.
They do a good thorough job. So.
In this case, you have the their COVID-19 plan submitted. You have the signed permit. Right, Jim?
Yes.
There was one other concern, I think, that was raised last time about the amount of signage just on and around on the tent, but that was something that you were going to help to resolve anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the sign regulations are the sign regulations. They can only have what's permissible under the code. So, and certainly not everything they had shown in.
Yeah.
I think what we did last year, I thought part of the approving resolution was it was subject to review by Matt Prime, too. He was going to visit the site
prior to opening, make sure everything was correct.
We did that last year with actually both of the applications, this one and the one that was closer to the north way. He's bound center.
Yeah, we didn't get that one back in this year. We only have this one.
Right. Okay, board, what, I guess, first items first, what would be your preference for?
Well, the other thing I would note is this is a type 2 action under secret. It's exempt. He's under 4,000 square feet.
Okay. first items first, then I guess, Jim, we'll take some action on the need for public hearing.
Right.
Does anybody have a feeling, or Eric, are you still interested in your initial?
Given the repetitive nature of this application and the lack of controversy, make a motion that we waive the public hearing requirement for Keystone Fireworks. Corner as far as
So I have a motion from Eric to waive the requirement for a public hearing for Keystone Novelties. Again, that's at 1315 Route 9. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and by Eric and a second by Mike. Any further discussion? Tricia, would you call the roll, please?
Trish. Carla, do you see Trish and John there now as attendees? You're
see John. I just put Trish on.
And John is. Yep, John's on now too.
Okay.
Yep. Trish, can you come?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, John's there. John Arnold is on.
Hi, John.
Hello, John.
Let the record show that John Arnold is in attendance at the meeting. Trish, are you there?
I see her on the screen.
I hear her.
I hear her kind of faintly, but she's there.
That's way better.
Oh, there you go. You must have got closer to the microphone, but you're better.
Mr. Arnold?
Yeah.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Van Dessel?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes, thank you, Trish. I shall concur. Motion carries.
You have a lot of names at the end of the alphabet there.
Okay, so with that, what would you like to see or do next with the Keystone Novelties? We've talked about a couple of additional pieces that are going to happen. One is Jim is going to help coordinate tomorrow with the fire chief, along with the state fire department. Also, the site will be inspected prior to the start of operation by Matt Dreimiller. I guess, what date would that be? They want it to be June 25th, so it would have to be prior to...
Yeah, Chris, what date will you have the site set up for inspection?
It would be set up on, the opening day is the 25th, so that's when it would be up.
So if we were there, what's your opening time on the 25th?
We have to wait for the tractor trailer to go to the drop.
Oh.
And that... So attendance and they're setting up the construction on any time, so it's...
All right, we'll be there first thing on the 25th then.
Okay.
are the signs going to be up, or are the signs coming in the truck?
Are the signs up prior to that?
No, it's all done that morning.
Okay. All right, we'll be there on the 25th first thing then.
Yes, yeah. I the fence will be done because I do the fence early.
Yeah, we can certainly take a look at that beforehand, but we'll be there on the morning of the 25th.
Okay.
And that's all I had in terms of, coordination steps or conditional pieces. Was there anything else that you had, Jim?
I know typically you do sign the site plan, but again, on this one, it's a repeat from last year, and it is temporary. If you want to go through that motion, we could, but I don't know if it's. We do have a site plan.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
I would.
Okay.
I mean, it's more of a technical detail, but I think it's good practice.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, Ward, I'm ready for anything you want to do. Or any other questions you might have for this applicant, or additional information that you might need from Keystone Knowledge.
Not me.
Are you looking for a motion?
If that's what you'd like to do, I think we have everything in place at this point.
I'll make a motion that we approve the site plan on Keystone Knowledge the notes and records.
Okay, I have a motion for approval of the site plan for temporary sales of fireworks for Keystone Novelties at 1315 Route 9 by Eric. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Peter. Any further discussion? Trisha, would you call the log entry?
Sherman?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Sherman?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Van Tassel?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Motion carries. And your other last motion would be if you would like to see the chairman and one other member sign the site plan, final site plan when presented.
So, are you proposing for the chairman and one of the members to sign the site plan when presented?
Second.
To the motion to sign the site plan when presented for Keystone Novelties 1315 Route 9, I have a motion by Jerry and a second by Alan. Any further discussion? That's not too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I shall agree. Motion carries.
What I might suggest on that is, we have a we have one. We can take one copy.
Right now,
we can have it. If you want to sign it, one other member, and that'll be out of the way.
This one is the one that you're referring
right.
to.
Right, and that's the same one I have in the file.
So, Chris, what we just decided is that we're going to help you out and take the file copy of the site plan. And myself and one other member will sign that tonight, so you can pick that up, I guess, pick up a copy from Jim.
Right. We'll have a copy and we'll leave the original in the file.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Anything further for us, Chris?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for putting up with us and getting connected tonight. Appreciate your help doing that.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great night.
All right, good luck. Have a good season.
Okay, Carl, I'm going to impose upon you again to try and get Gary in, as I said. You apparently have the power, and I know. Get Gary in as a panelist.
Do you want the tent layout as
well? I just unmuted him. He should be fine.
Do you want the tent layout as well?
Yes. Yeah. I think we both would be good.
All right.
And if you sign and date it,
you're good.
Good. Gary, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. We're just finishing up some logistical business with a prior accident. We'll be right with you.
Residual and all that, so.
keep here that the room we have sewers in. But anyway, we're going out probably in the next 2 weeks to do percolation tests and test fits on each of the lots. And hopefully we'll have some information to you either at the next meeting or the meeting after. And then the last item will be really stormwater. We've run across this before. We talked to DC about it. Because we're selling it and we don't know what's going to be where. If indeed the first four lots end up being residential, that would be exempt. And if we've been involved with one solar project before, and that was also exempted. They don't, if the solar panels aren't considered to be impervious, and as such, normally you don't need to get a permit for that. So we're thinking what we would do is for the subdivision plan would be to actually do a erosion center control plan. And I can't think of anything else. I guess a couple things I had was, I was just wondering if you were to look at like lots B, C, and D. Lot A is all residential. Lot B is mostly residential. But the area that would be good to put a house is in the commercial zone. And I'm not sure if that's something that you guys allow in that zone. It's a split zone.
That was going to be a comment that I have, Gary. The residential wouldn't be allowed in the C1 zone. And I know you mentioned the prior, rezoning effort. And it wasn't so much that it was denied, it was just pulled. He decided to pull the application, Terry did at the time, Terry Stewart. Because there was building opposition from the residential neighborhood. I think it's on Mountainside Road or Mountain View Road. So, the thing that wasn't attempted, because he was attempting to push the commercial zone line further onto the property and bring it closer to the residents, and that's what was causing the problem. What wasn't attempted is the idea of pushing the residential zone line towards Old Saratoga Road and making those four lots A, B, C, and D all in the residential district.
This is all commercial.
So, I don't know what he wants to do about that, but all I can tell you is right now it wouldn't be allowed unless the house was north of the zoning boundary in Lot C. And B, and that looks like that's going to be a little tight with long driveways.
Yeah.
And you're going to be really tight on Lot B. It looks like you got a septic system kind of shown there in the where it says 22 degrees 50. The longitudinal thing there. Is that a septic system you're trying to show there? There's a little rectangular box on Lot B.
That's a septic system the surveyor had on there. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We haven't been out to do any tests, though.
So. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's an internal decision among you guys, but all I can tell you is the residential use in the C1 zone is not going to be allowed. It'd be a use variance to do that.
That's what I was just going to say. That's something that can still be used or go in front of the zoning board and ask for a variance.
Sure.
On a site-by-site basis.
Right.
If I could just address something quickly here, this is John Earle. I'm looking at a map, and then the applicant just mentioned that there's a problem here or conflict or whatever with the C1 and the R1 zone. It's not an R1 zone out here. At least not on my zoning map. It shows that it's an R2.
R2.
Oh, one map.
Let me get my map and double check.
I'm sorry.
Jim's going to confirm whether that's an R1 or R2 adjacent.
I'm pretty sure there's no R1s on that far out of town.
Yep. You're right, John.
I went and looked it up on the town website. It says R2 out there. So.
Okay, once again, that was the surveyor put that on there, and I was trusting him.
Okay.
Well, we confirmed that, Gary, I guess, for the purposes of Lot E.
Yes.
Let me make sure I have this right. Yes, Lot E, right now, it shows, in general, an ATV trail that approaches Spire Falls Road. Is that...
Is R2.
Sorry, R2?
Yep.
Yes, Jim's back and said you're right down to start too.
Okay.
Do you want to finish your thought before I go ramble?
No, actually, I have other ones, but they can move on. It's just before we get too far into it, I want to make sure that was clarified.
Okay. So, in any event, my question, I guess, Gary, was is there consideration to provide access to the site from Spire Falls Road, or would that just be for the purposes of a water connection, or like what's being considered, I guess, as part of that detail for where it would gain access to Spire Falls, you know?
I think that lien can only be used for utility and fire.
Okay.
If you're talking about the 60-foot along the north way that goes up to Spire Falls,
yeah.
That can be used for, that may be able to be used to bring water in for fire hydrants, but the degree of slope on that overpass that 60 feet involves,
right, well, yeah, it's huge.
It's certainly not an access way of any kind whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I think that was certainly, if you recall, we just had a subdivision done up in that area. You guys looked at it a couple of years ago. And I think that was just left to provide the necessary frontage on a public right-of-way to meet the technical requirement.
Got it.
So that brings us to the other end of Lot E, which is over on Route 9. Actually, it looks like it fronts on Old Saratoga Road. And you have an access way on that edge of that intersection of Old Saratoga Road and U.S. Route 9?
Yes.
Okay.
Just shown as a driveway going in. It's not anything special.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think I could probably understand that it's like an access driveway, but being that that's a C1, and we're just saying that there's a possibility of being solar, if there's something else going to go into that C1, I think now's the time to determine that spot, to me at least, where you have that driveway, can only be a driveway. I don't see that as a road access to any other commercial activity myself. I think if that's the case, you need to move it further away from that intersection of Old Saratoga Road or not.
Right. And the surveyor just showed something to show something. He's just, presuming that what's going to happen is somebody's going to buy that for a commercial parcel, and they won't even put a plan themselves. And whatever we did is not going to be germane to what they do.
Okay, so maybe I need to be more clear what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
If you think there's a possibility that whoever buys that is going to want to have that, instead of being a driveway, be a road in, I can't see approving that myself personally.
Okay.
So you're thinking, well, no, it's just because the access puts it, if it's a road, it's right on top of that intersection with Route 9.
Right.
It's a really horrible setup. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you think it's going to be something other than solar panels and they need an access driveway to get into it, then maybe we need to reconsider the front of Lot D and get more access to move that further up Old Saratoga Road. I guess that's all I'm saying.
I know there's been two interests shown in that over the last several years. One was a commercial nursery, you know, selling, you know, plants, trees, that kind of stuff. And then there was I don't know if you remember the luxury RV guy with the luxury RV park. He was looking at this site.
Right. So it's just something to think about. I mean, if there's some way to get, it just seems to me it'd be a very uncomfortable place to have a road coming out of Saratoga Road at 9 right there. A driveway, sure, that's different than a road. So I don't really want to limit him in any way to what future purchasers can use that property for just because we make a mistake in subdivision and don't give enough room to make a safe roadway there.
John, so what you're saying is that old 275-foot frontage, you don't like have a commercial driveway.
No. Lot D has 275 feet of commercial frontage.
Right.
Lot D does. That's adequate for a driveway, and it's far enough away from the intersection. If whoever it was wanted to put a road in there, great. What I'm talking about is Lot E. They were showing a driveway on the curve of Old Saratoga Road where it connects with Route 9.
Okay.
Are we in the same spot there?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. I think that's really, it's okay for a driveway for access to a, you know, even a commercial nursery or something, but if you're talking about down the road, somebody might buy that and want to put in an RV park or something, that's a pretty, it's not a very safe connection right there for a road.
Okay.
But that's just me. I mean, I'm just one voice on this, but I wondered if maybe it might be wise while we're in the planning stage to try and find some way to get home access there.
Okay, well, let me look at it when we go on the field. Is you know, see what it looks like out there.
Because that's a huge parcel of commercial zone right there. 52 acres, almost 53 acres of commercial that we've already eliminated access on Spire Falls Road. Okay.
It might be worthwhile, given the proximity to the interstate, it might be worthwhile having a discussion with DOT about that, Gary, because I know that an interchange is in the process of a redesign.
Yeah, are you doing the south exit though?
Well, we're not. Nothing's been confirmed, but what they were going to do was essentially replicate the configuration of exit 19 down here. So they're doing away with the cloverleaf, and they're going to do essentially the same access pattern that you have at exit 19. In other words, the southbound traveler who's looking to head across or get on the Aviation Road, you go under the underpass and loop back around. Well, the same thing would happen here.
Okay.
But that's a lot. That was just a preliminary design. I don't know what they've done for the final yet. I think it's in design right now. But it would be worthwhile having a conversation with them about this because they're going to have a say about what happens on that 100-foot of frontage there, that 99.81 feet. DOT is going to comment on any access that goes through there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give them a holler before we come back and see what they, you know, in their back.
So, I mean, if that's the case, and somehow you get access directly to Route 9, or, I mean, all of this is proposed. There's nothing solid up here anyway, as far as what might happen on that 53 acres, but, and even if you went forward with combining Lot D and E, if we went forward, that gives you access, a good solid, safe access onto it, but that's something to consider that you could later subdivide if you want to move ahead fast right now. But you could do just what you have right now, because this might limit whoever buys that 53 acres.
Right, yeah, no, I agree. When we were talking about the zone issue, are we thinking that if we took the R1C or the R2 C2 zone line and ran it essentially where the line is between D and E, and maybe A through D residential, do you think that might be palatable to everyone?
I think that would be much better received by the neighborhood there than the past attempt at pushing this the C zoning further into the lot. If you were to extend the R2 zone across lots A, B, C, and D completely, based on what I heard from the neighborhood, they would like that.
Yeah, that was their strong preference the last time we talked about it.
Okay.
But that's got to be done by a petition to the town board.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let me talk with Terry and we'll see what he thinks about that. Maybe you know, consider doing something like that.
I think that would clean this up, because this has been a messy situation on a large piece of property with a lot of wetlands and stuff on it. It's just another complicating factor.
No doubt.
It absolutely is. I agree with that. But also, I think before we just rush headlong into devising that type of an action, John's point needs to be taken into account as well, because if that line, as currently shown between lots C and E, becomes the difference between C1 and R2, and then we need to move the entry in a lot E, now we're going to be talking about a zoning maybe boundary adjustment, right?
And yep. Lot, yep.
So,
it,
you know,
that's a point well taken. It would be good to understand the access for lot E before we make any final before they make any final decisions about where they run the zone line.
I was just going to add that I think I'd be more comfortable with moving the R2 line for A, B, and C, and leaving the C1, maybe moving the C1 back on E and E. That way you're maintaining a commercial zone there.
So I think is what you're saying, John, is that you'd only end up having three residential lots, and they would be on A, B, and C? And then
right, and then you have E and E still listed as commercial if they need to be combined to put a road in or whatever. No. That's far enough back on those other lots that the commercial shouldn't have a huge impact on the residential use. That can't, at least not one that can't be mitigated.
So I think what John is saying is that, you know, move forward with the R2 on A, B, and C, and
right.
B, B, and E as commercial.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, anything like that.
Or some permutation to that, right? I think what you're hearing, Gary, is that if we don't do that, if we want to advocate, excuse me, that lot D also become residential, then we still are going to have to mitigate and amend the site access for E somehow, right? So whatever, after you talk to Terry, whatever you think is the approach you want to take, I guess just let us know.
Yeah, I understand. You see anything else that might be something we should look into?
We're absolutely positive on the wetland lines for number 4 and number 5.
Yeah, they have been delineated. They were done some time ago. They are rock solid.
Okay, I'm just checking because they seem to be conveniently leaving room access road. So I just want to make sure that there's
it is just a coincidence, the dollar group.
Oh, a very good one, but
yep. Sometimes that happens, yeah.
Yep.
Well, you're still going to have to get that access road through the buffer, and that's still going to require a permit.
I still think, I'm going to say this though, I think if you meet lot D is commercial, okay, and it comes down the road where, you know, somebody decides they're going to do a commercial greenery, whatever, in that Eaton home, they don't need the driveway access, access, but then down the road they do, that leaves them the opportunity to work to deal with lot D and combine the road, and so I still like that idea of keeping them both commercial at this point. Even if we do a lot of subdivision on
it. Okay. I think on one hand, I'm thinking that you're saying let's go to a 4-lot subdivision.
No.
And then, okay. And then you're thinking that maybe we stay with a 5-lot when we...
All I said with the 5-lot is here, if you do that, then the guy in lot E, if he wants to have a road in there in the future, he may have to work to deal with lot B, or he may just see it as a difficult thing for traffic flow. But it's still, it's certainly better than if it's residential on a hot day. That's just, that makes it impossible with that one. So,
alright.
I would start with a discussion with DOT, Gary, to find out what their opinion is on access through there.
That's cool.
We will. I'll get a hold of them before we get back and make sure we know what's up. Now, would we want to just to back to that zone line, would we want to leave it across lot D the way that it goes, and then on the between C and D run it back up to
If I were you, given what I heard out of that neighborhood, I would just rezone, like John said, lots A through C to R2, and then leave the line on D alone.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before, and I think the mindset has been if you leave that R1 in the back, still
right.
Allows commercial development, but it creates a natural buffer for the residences behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep, I think that's just safer than, and that way you won't be banging your head against a wall of contention either.
Sure.
I think everybody's going to be thrilled with that compromise right there.
Okay. All right. Well, let's
go.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, and it also leaves me another question, and that is that, and I probably shouldn't ask this, but lot C is 6.6 acres. And it looks like it's fairly on wetland. If it is going to be residential, is it possible to split that into two lots? And you give that into consideration. If you want, if you're going to make it residential.
We'll take a look at it and see. Like I said, when we get out in the field and we actually do some test holes,
exactly.
Find out what we have there, and look at about where these boundaries are specifically, it'll be maybe a little better, and we'll know a little better.
Yep.
But I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know the C2 requirements either, so.
The R2?
The R2 requirements, so. We'll look at it. By the time we get back, we'll know what's what. And we'll condition the downward before we get back.
Well, without water, the minimum lot size is 32,500 square feet.
The 3/4 acre.
Yeah, in the R2.
Okay.
And the other thing you could do, if you start pushing the lines around, is give a little bit more area to lot B, so that's not so constrained by all that wetland area.
Yeah. Okay.
And then just bring it all the way over behind the mountains. Gary, was that discussion helpful? Is there anything else that we can do to make it more challenging for you?
That's why we get paid the big money.
You do. In all seriousness, is that helpful? Is that what you were hoping to accomplish tonight?
It is, yes. Yeah, that's exactly what I was hoping to accomplish. But if you see anything else, I don't see anything else. I think you put out a lot of good points and we'll take a look at those things. I can't think of anything else.
Okay.
So I think I'm good.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you connecting with us.
All right. If you need help with going to the board with a zone change, just let me know.
I will, Jim. I'll come in and see you.
Okay.
And Carla, that shirt does look great.
All right. Are we all set with Gary then?
I think as long as Gary's all set with us.
You take that down.
All right, thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. All right, we'll see you.
So it's just us, I guess, board members. Anything else for us, Jim, that you have to...
Just something on the zoning ordinance would be better than...
Wait, can I hop in first?
Yes, you can.
On the last one, I was reviewing all the plans and everything, and... I mean, this isn't something that Gary needed to be be in on, but you just got to be careful telling an applicant, hey, go to the town board for a rezoning, because you know, the town board is the one that makes the rezoning. And you know, I know also, Jim, we were working on the zoning amendment, I didn't know if that was going to be part of the zoning map. So this is one of those, it's a good idea, but just be careful about saying to the applicant, hey, go to the town board and tell them that this is what we want you to do. Just kind of, just be careful, that's all.
Well, he's going to go before them and say that John Arnold said, so that's fine.
Okay, well, let's keep the name started.
Right.
Much more detail.
Okay.
So that starts with understanding what the existing land use pattern is. We're out doing that inventory now. We're doing a windshield survey. You know, then we're comparing that with assessment data to make sure that it all matches out and that we have good accurate use schedules when we, because we're going to be, I think the commercial zoning district, although in its framework is going to be largely the same, the detail of it is going to be a lot different than it is today.
Okay.
Or at least in the first draft, anyhow.
Right.
As it comes out to you guys to look at. So, but I just want to let you know that's where we're at in that phase of the work. And we did have a suspension of that work for a while as we entered into the everything that happened with the COVID stuff. It was thought just better to put things on pause until they understood where things were at. And that did happen, though, and now we've been authorized to restart again. So we had a little bit of a lost time there. Maybe a couple of months were lost, but now we're back at it.
Okay.
That's all I had.
All right. I guess with that, before I entertain a motion to adjourn, I'll wish everybody a happy 4th of July holiday.
Oh, that's true.
And make sure you're safe and stay healthy. So.
And all right, and Stewart's is going along. We have the escrow money has been deposited. The contract or the letter of authorization has been signed with Peter Faith to do the third party review. So now we're just waiting for the resubmission. And they have some traffic stuff to tie out, obviously, with that, the DOT and all that. And I'm expecting we'll be getting a revised site plan too.
Do you think they'll be back in July?
I'm expecting that will be the case. They've had one round of comments with LaBerge and the stormwater. LaBerge reviewed it. We got their first comment letter back. I forwarded that back to them. So I'm expecting between that and the traffic. And we're probably going to have a little bit of a site plan redesign, too, in deference to some of the parking, you know, layout is going to change in terms of parking
splits
and location of the handicapped. And we also had a landscaping plan, I think, that had to be updated.
So we're going to take another look at the actual total amount of retail space as well, based on your recommendations,
right,
to see what they needed for parking.
Right, and do the calculation on that basis, because I think they can have an actual fewer number of spaces there that would accommodate the wider width.
You just have to make sure they count in the beer cave.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Retail. Yeah.
What did we do with the septic system on that? What's the new from Fox there?
They were in fact correct that dry wells are allowed with exception and approval of DEC. There are exceptions where they are permitted. So that looks like that is okay to do that. I would have swore it wasn't, but
yeah, most could look into it. It's not going to be that long anyways, I don't think. You
know? Hopefully not, but yeah. The point is that the dry well is a permissible system as long as DEC reviews it and it meets their exceptions.
So that leads into another question. Anybody else that comes along through there are going to be required to hook to that?
Oh, yeah, if they're in the district, they'll be required to hook it.
They'll be required.
Okay. Yep.
Good.
Yep. And we won't be wasting space on leaf beds anymore.
Okay. Good.
So we'll kind of
I read tomorrow the other day, and I thought there was a
the parliament was actually digging footers.
Who?
Who was
the president of progress?
Who was digging footers, Jerry?
Fred Bartlett.
Oh yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I almost went off the road when I saw that.
I fell off my chair.
No, that's good. Good progress being made. Yep.
It's progress.
Definitely. All right. Before we go sideways, motion to adjourn.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Happy motion to adjourn.
Yes. By Alan. Second. Michael?
Yes.
Okay. Mike says second. Yes. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Shall concur?
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Stay safe.
Be careful.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carl.
Bye, Carl.
Bye, everybody.
Okay.
I think you